And it looks like we're about to start here with the Hansen. There's some fantastic things happening here in the ensemble. I'm really struck by the overall sonority on the ensemble. It's a very mature sound. You're doing some great things dynamically. I think, at least so far in what I'm hearing, maybe one of the areas of most growth is going to be in balance. Like, for example, at the very beginning, the oompa, 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 I'm getting a lot of but not a lot of the pa. That is, those of you who are playing on the off beats here at the beginning. And then another spot might be here where you have this wonderful, at measure 37, bum, ba, ba, bum, da, 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 saxophones and horns. Not hearing that as loudly as the other two. Ideally, those should all be the same volume, so the listener is hearing da da ka, da 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 and so forth. So many wonderful things going on. I wonder if you could take more advantage of those articulation marks that the arranger is giving you. Da dee, da dee, da. You know, you've got accents on some notes and not the others, but I kind of can't tell as a listener where those accents are. Part one here, you got in the woodwinds. Make sure you've got that air moving through the instrument very, very quickly, so we're hearing all the 16th notes. We're hearing the 8th notes and the dotted 8th notes, but some of the 16th notes aren't really shining through. Yeah, great control, and what a lovely start to your program. Really, you know, you're doing all the foundational work is really in place. You know, that is ensuring that the right notes are happening at the right time, played by the right people. That's all happening. So I think, you know, the next sort of things to think about would be maybe creating more dynamic contrast. Can your softs be softer? Can the louds maybe even be a bit louder at times without sacrificing, you know, the tone quality of the ensemble? Those are things that I'm thinking about here as you start the Sweeney. Flutes, it sounded like you came in a beat early. I could be wrong there, but you want to listen back and be very mindful of what the bell part is. She's got the bells are playing quarter notes through the first two measures, so you got to sync up with her last quarter note of measure two. Good. Breathe together. You know, in measure 14, I think if anything, you can try to extend that note a little further before you take your breath. You know, if we were, it'd be great if we played violins here and we wouldn't have to worry about that breath and we could make really connected lines. So you want to try to, of course, you're going to have to cheat notes to get that breath in, but maybe there you can cheat a little bit less. Trumpets, I think you're doing well. I can tell you're being sensitive here to the dynamic markings that you're giving, but I think you can do a bit more with that. Exaggerate those, that crescendo, so that the line really feels like it's moving somewhere. Mm-hmm. Sounded a little unsure of your entrance there at 38 trumpets. As a section, you want to make sure that you're breathing together so that everybody has the confidence that you need to start that line to start that line together. Good. My taste would be here. This is such a, you know, very sort of lyrical piece. This is a piece that sings more than it dances. I think you'd agree. And so, and I'm trying to get really, I know I'm getting really detailed here because you're doing so many things great. I want to make sure I give you other things to think about. But like a measure 50, you've got this half note at measure 50, and then the flutes pick up the melody on beat 3. But there, in the way that you played it, there was, I think, too big of a gap for me. I think that that half note of 50 really needs to be played for its full length, so that we get this, we don't lose the line there. Okay, check that pitch. There's a great spot there where you've got just the open perfect fifth, and so that the intonation, if it's not spot on, is really going to, yeah, very good. Breathe, yeah, finish together there. Make sure that you're ending that note at the very end at the same time and in the same way. Some of you sounded like maybe you were ending that with your tongue, and others were ending it just by, you know, releasing the air. That might be a spot where you'd really want to make a creative interpretive decision. How are we going to end that? Should we end just by going da, or do we end with a tongue da? Quite a different feeling either way you go, but make sure it's consistent across the ensemble. And then what I was saying again with measure 70, whenever you get to those spots where it sounds a little out of tune, I think it's a great idea, if you're not already doing it, to just sort of put the instrument down and sing the pitch that you're playing, because that will force your ear to really center the pitch in your head. And then when you go back to playing it on the instrument, that should help you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice start. Nice power here. hi-hat. I think you can play a little bit softer. Bells or xylophone. Careful of your rhythm right at 8. You've got to be pulsing in measure 7. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and so that you're getting those rhythms locked into place right from the get-go. Kudos to the percussion. This is challenging music. I think your next step is to try to make all of the unaccented notes much more quiet. That'll help it groove. That'll help the ensemble a lot. Try to be more together there, woodwinds at 57, and use that articulation to help you groove, you know, dia, da, dia, da, dia. Don't play all those notes exactly the same way. Okay, take a look at that rhythm. Don't be afraid to slow that down and count that, right? 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and... I'm looking at the wood block there. The 66. Yeah, I want to say, and I don't know if, I want to say, I think you need to play with more confidence here, and maybe it's because of the sparse rhythms and the sort of way that the rhythms that a section has kind of fit in the spaces of the others. It sounds a bit hesitant, or maybe that you're not as confident with the rhythms as, say, you were in the first piece today. To a very challenging piece indeed. I think in that piece, this is the Psalter, of course. I think the biggest area of improvement would be just in rhythmic accuracy and the sense of simultaneity, especially, you know, at the beginning when you have the dia dia duro, you know, dia, that it should never feel like it's dragging, right? Dida dida da da dida dida dida, and we want to make sure that we're not sort of, instead of, we don't want to be waiting for the previous musicians to finish their dia dia before we play our dia. We want to make sure that we're just right in time with that internal metronome that we're all sort of feeling as we're playing. And I think the road to that would be to go much slower in rehearsal and try to make it groove at a slower tempo, making sure that you can count all those rhythms and so forth. You know, the key to fast playing is making sure that you never sacrifice accuracy in your pursuit of getting faster. So you always want to practice as slow as you need to in order to play it accurately. I think a little bit of work there would pay you a lot of dividends in the overall effect of your performance. This was a real joy in listening to you today. I think you've got so many wonderful things in place. I'm really struck by the maturity of your playing, especially for this age. So it was a real joy to listen to you. I hope my comments were useful, and I truly hope to be able to hear you again very, very soon. Until then, best wishes and good luck.